Hello, beloved of God. It is good to be with you again in this virtual space. This is Renee Antrosio. It is my privilege to serve as pastor at New Covenant since 2016 and to study the scriptures with you that are assigned for today by the Catholic Church and the Revised Common Lectionary. Growing up in an independent, non-denominational, grassroots, revival, hippie, convert, cowboy church in Montana, I had little respect for organized religion and had never heard of the lectionary. We were encouraged to read the whole Bible, cover to cover, and pastors preached on whatever the Holy Spirit was prompting in them that week. There are parts I love about that system, its own tradition, really, in a way, and I appreciate the breadth of scripture and preaching in which I grew up. So I continue to be surprised to find myself consulting the lectionary scripture guides of Catholics and mainline Protestant denominations and hearing God speak through these combinations of readings with new insights. I appreciate the wisdom in the selection of scriptures and thinking about what scriptures have not been assigned for preaching by the institutional church, and how God might be exhorting us today through these ancient texts. Before I begin, I'd like to share a prayer from Macrina Whitaker for the blessing of these words. A prayer that could guide us at the beginning of any day. O Word made flesh, stand guard at the gate of my mouth. Be my voice this day, that the words I speak will be healing, affirming, true, and gentle. Give me wisdom to think before I speak. Bless the words in me that are waiting to be spoken. Live and abide in my words so that others will feel safe in my presence. Surprise me with words that come from you. Place my words in your kiln that they may be enduring and strong, tempered and seasoned with love and resilience. Give me a well-trained tongue that has been born out of silent listening in the sanctuary of my heart. May my words become love in the lives of others. Amen. Our readings today begin with the prophets Zephaniah and Micah, who preach judgment against nations for their sins of economic injustice, greed, and violence, particularly against those who are most vulnerable. This is not the American gospel, where we have been taught that sins are lapses in personal morality, that God cares more about sexuality than financial righteousness, and that state-sponsored violence is a government that we should respect and obey. Actually, the Revised Common Lectionary omits the majority of the short book of Zephaniah so that most of us only know the part commonly read on Palm Sunday about rejoicing because of God's forgiveness and renewed favor, skipping the judgment and repentance, where nations and people are urged to turn away from the idolatry of greed and turn toward humility and generosity. Likewise, the passages we know from Micah are about the good parts, when blessings return, as people practice peace by beating swords into plowshares and nations cease to make war. We like to read about the blessings, and at New Covenant, we have been hearing God's call to rejoice and embrace gratitude. And indeed, the joy of the Lord is our strength, particularly in difficult times. So the exhortation to rejoice is one to which we will keep returning. And the prophets preach repentance for for the sins of the nation, our violence, our greed, and the hope that those who turn to God will be saved from judgment, forgiven our injustices, and hidden with God. Here is the section of Zephaniah that precedes the Palm Sunday passage of Rejoice, Daughter of Zion. This is from Zephaniah 3, verses 8 through 15. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord. Wait for the day when I rise up as a witness, when I decide to gather nations, to collect kingdoms, to pour out my indignation upon them, all the heat of my anger. In the fire of my jealousy, all the earth will be devoured. Then I will change the speech of the peoples into pure speech, that all of them will call on the name of the Lord and will serve him as one. From beyond the rivers of Cush, my daughter, my dispersed ones will bring me offerings. On that day, you won't be ashamed of all your deeds with which you sinned against me. Then I will remove from your midst those boasting with pride. No longer will you be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will cause a humble and powerless people to remain in your midst. They will seek refuge in the name of the Lord. The few remaining from Israel won't commit injustice. They won't tell lies. A deceitful tongue won't be found on their lips. They will graze and lie down. No one will make them afraid. Rejoice, daughter Zion. Shout, Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed your judgment. He has turned away your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is in your midst. You will no longer fear evil. I especially appreciate Zephaniah's prophecy about being freed from fear, that no one will make God's people afraid, that we will no longer fear evil. Fear is an ever-present danger, and it creeps in so easily. The prophets remind us that this is a time to call on the name of the Lord for repentance, for mercy, for refuge from the storm, for courage to act with justice, kindness, and humility. I am encouraged that faith leaders in our community organized an interfaith prayer service of hopeful lament this week, bearing witness to pain, resilience, and the longing for justice for those most vulnerable in our community who are impacted by the actions of our government. In solidarity with those in need, and in our own longing for mercy and justice, we join in creating sacred space for these prayers. So before we proceed with the rest of this teaching, Jim Linder will lead us in prayer for our world, our nation, our fellowship, family, and even for our enemies, as Jesus taught us.